suppose you really wanted to achieve some of the recommendations in information technology as laid out in the report, what are the first three things you'd do? It may be that the working group has already identified some of those questions and that they're easy answers. Or maybe we need to ask ourselves, will we need to hire a consultant? Will we need to do more homework? You know, what are the first two or three things that need to be done? So I'll be looking at this more from an action perspective, from an actual execution perspective, and then bringing back to the chancellors, to the president, to members of the faculty, to the deans and others, a proposal of next steps that we could and should look at in terms of execution in each of these areas. The real problem with a lot of these efforts, all of us know over the years, is you get some great people, they come up with great ideas, and then those reports and recommendations tend to sit on the shelf, not because anybody wants to put them on the shelf, but that either there are complications or difficulties in actually implementing the recommendations, or people get distracted by other things. We think the urgency of the financial situation over the next two or three years is going to be sufficient that we're going to need every dime of savings that we'll be able to wring out of this, out of these recommendations over that period, to make sure that our academic programs remain strong and that we're actually moving forward and not backpedaling in any way.
And because this process is supposed to be 2 to 3 years, I assume you'll still be overseeing that, all these actions we're talking about?
I don't see myself necessarily working on this 3 years from now. I think my focus is much shorter term. I'm going to be very tightly focused over the next 6 weeks, and then probably this will be my primary focus over the next 6 months. But at some point, I hope we will be far enough along that I'll then be able to hand this off to somebody else. But I think President Hogan's thought was that this could be one discrete activity that where I could be helpful to him and allow him to turn his attention to some of the other very significant challenges that he will be facing.
How does, with President Hogan taking the office this week, how does his management style mesh with yours in order to ensure this a smooth transition? How does it work well?
Well, we'll have to see. From all I've seen so far, Mike Hogan is unquestionably the most qualified person to ever move into the office of president, and I've really noticed no material differences in his leadership style and mine. I'm sure we'll identify some over a period of time, but I think it's going to be a very smooth transition. He's very easy to work with, very articulate, very bright, high ambitions for himself, high aspirations for the university overall. I think he's off to a great start, and I look forward to being supportive in every way I can.
We are just over a year removed from last year's admission scandal. Has everything been put to bed with regard to what happened here, or is there anything else that needs to be addressed?
I think most all of that is in the rearview mirror. I rarely get asked questions about that, either on campus or traveling around the state. I do think that we will conduct a review of our admissions processes at the end of this academic year, or in the midst of doing that right now, to see if there were any unintended consequences. And it's obvious that there have been a couple, but we want to be sure that the system that was put in place a year ago is now working in the way that everybody anticipated and expected that it would at the time it was put in place. But beyond that, I think the integrity of the process is superb. I think the amount of intrusion or interest that we've received from the outside has dropped to virtually zero, and I think all of that's good news.
You mentioned with this a review that you'll be overseeing, saving every dime possible. Are there other things that may have to take place in this campus in addition to furloughs and the tuition hike, some unforeseen result of this yet that we may have to, a step we may have to take come next semester?
Well, you never say never, but on the furlough front, I do not anticipate that it will be necessary to enact furloughs during the coming year, mainly because of two things. Number one, we took decisive action back in January. I think that has stabilized our situation now as we conclude the fiscal year. And so I think the tough medicine that we took in January is one major plus factor. The other major plus is that if the state acts irresponsibly in terms of its ability to pay the university, at least we now have borrowing authority. We didn't have that a year ago. So both of hopefully we won't need to exercise it, but I'm sure we would exercise borrowing authority before we would go down the pathway for furlough. So one never says never, but I'm as close to saying never on that, at least as a prediction, as one can get. The other good news on the payment front is I was advised by Vice President Knorr just earlier today that the university has received another $30 million in payments from the state. So this brings us now just slightly south of $300 million in arrears, which is a lot of money. But you'll remember that last December 31, 2009, we were $436 million behind. So we're in relatively better shape now than we were 6 months ago. Still very tough, still very hazardous. The state has got a financial crisis that must be addressed as quickly as possible. But at the same time, the university is receiving more regular and orderly payments of our bills than we might have expected 4 or 5 months ago.
Are you disappointed, upset lawmakers did not come back and exercise borrowing, or was that anticipated?
Well, I think eventually the question of how to patch things together until January of next year, still that question is still out there, still unresolved. Unfortunately, we did not anticipate that the state would have the political stamina to address its financial problems during this session of the legislature, and tragically that judgment turned out to be correct. So I think the state and the university are both in the position now of having to cope and adjust, work our way through the next 6 months. But we do need to, the state needs to have a firm plan of action ready to put in place in January to enact reforms both on the expenditure side and the revenue side that will enact budget cuts and tax increases sufficient to begin over a 2-3 year period to bring the finances of the state of Illinois in a sound position. In the meantime, the cost of borrowing, for example, has shot up for the state of Illinois. It's costing more now in terms of interest costs than it's ever cost before for the state of Illinois to borrow. And unfortunately, that negative halo effect, is coming down on the university as well. We just completed financing for some auxiliary facility bonds and ended up paying more than we would have expected to pay as a result of that. That's probably going to cause us to think twice about moving ahead with planned construction projects. So the sooner this crisis is resolved at the state level, the credit and the stability of the state will be improved. But frankly, it'll improve for every public university in the state.
Something that came up a couple weeks ago was this story originated by the Tribune with Eikenberry Commons and the sculpture. Has there been any talk of still private funding for something like that, or is that just going to be put off for a while?
Well, you know, I think we'll put that off for a while. It was too bad in the sense that it popped up, but immediately, if that's going to be an issue or controversial, that's something that we can get rid of. So I think everybody, a lot of people have given good advice as to how to move forward on that, but I don't think that's anything that we need to really rush on. The board and the new administration ought to take their time to make sure that you know, they're dealing with other more important priorities first.
After this process with overseeing this review group, 6 months or so, you plan on slowing down a little bit? You've been associated with this campus for, 30-plus years now?
Well, yes, I do. Judy and I have a trip planned to Scotland in late August, early September, so we're looking forward to that. And I'm looking forward to getting off of the 24/7 treadmill that I've been on for the last 6 months, 9 months. It's been great. It's been exhilarating. But I have no reluctance at all to hand over the reins to President Hogan. But I'll be continuing to support and help President Hogan in any way I can, follow any assignment that he would like me to carry out. Also, I want to return to my academic duties in the College of Education. I've been working with Professor Koo at Indiana University over the last 2 or 3 years in the creation of a National Institute for Learning Outcome Assessment. And it's a one-of-a-kind operation in the country. We're supported by the Carnegie, Lumina, and Teagle Foundations. We're just beginning to hit our stride now in terms of national impact. So I'm looking forward to getting back in touch there. And I've been contacted by colleagues at the national level to be helpful on a couple projects there. So I think that I will not have any trouble finding ways to be comfortably occupied.
Anything else locally, like teaching a class here? Or?
I've taught in the past and may very well continue to teach in the future, but I don't have anything scheduled for the fall term.
Anything else you want to add on the legacy you'll be leaving on this campus and what you hope people say about you for generations?
Well, I don't have anything to add on the legacy side. I think that now's the time to take stock of our trajectory over the last 6 to 9 to 12 months. And I think the university has come through some very challenging times, but I look for better times ahead. I think we'll have to define and achieve our own destiny. I don't think we can expect things to drop in our lap. I don't think we can expect the state of Illinois will define and deliver our destiny. But I think we can be responsible for our own long-term future and building the University of Illinois in all of its dimensions across this state in as the premier public university, not just in Illinois, but nationally. That's been our heritage, but it's also our future. And moving toward that, making sure, for example, that we keep our top faculty. That means improving our compensation levels, making sure that we can make the tough decisions and put our resources where our most pressing priorities are, and making sure that we have the vision and the inspiration to define the new university, the new public university of the 21st century. I think all of that awaits in the future, and I think it's a very exciting prospect for all of us.